This is Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today, we're doing something a little different. Dr. Carol Myers will take over the interviewing. She's talking with State Representative Jeremy Faison. The Republican from Cook County says it's time for Tennessee to legalize medical use of substances derived from marijuana. He co-chaired a legislative committee that examined that issue this year. His bill will be considered in the General Assembly early in 2018. Now, I'll step out of the way and let Dr. Myers and Representative Faison take the floor.
Okay, my understanding from doing a lot of reading is that you support medical cannabis, but you are promoting what you've characterized, and this is a quote, one of the strictest medical marijuana bills in America. Define strict.
The number one thing I hear from law enforcement and from the average citizen who is concerned about this is the thought that recreational will happen. Mm-hmm. Recreational use of this plant will happen in Tennessee. And they don't want the children to have access to it. Mm-hmm. And we understand, if you're paying attention at all, marijuana is everywhere in America, and it's all throughout the state of Tennessee. But what I want to make sure I do is what we're using for medicinal purposes. It's got to be labeled correctly. We want the patient to know exactly what they're getting, the dosages, everything. This is a regulated grow industry that's producing medical-grade cannabis. And I feel like if we come very strict and make sure that we've covered all our problems, that we can do that in Tennessee and not have one thing get into society that would potentially harm a child.
Okay, but you're implying that there's some safeguards with oil versus plant products. Could you describe that a little bit?
Well, the interesting thing about cannabis, in the medical field, you have a terminology called a half-life. And what a half-life does is basically it tells you how long whatever you've ingested or taken has efficacy, and you know when it wears out. So with cannabis, unadulterated cannabis, it has a six-hour half-life. And no matter how much you take, your body metabolizes cannabis within 6 hours. It's stored in some of your fat tissue, but the effects on your mind are gone. So we also find that with the oil. The neat thing about the oil, though, is when you mix the CBD, which comes from the industrial hemp plant, along with THC that comes from the marijuana plant, which is what I believe we need both of them. Science shows us that the psychoactive effect is very nil. It takes away the majority of the psychoactive effect, and you still get the benefits from it. And then, obviously, from a healthcare professional, anybody in healthcare would say, if you're smoking something, even if it does provide some benefits, science will show you that smoking cannabis can provide benefits for pain relief. But then you also you're doing something negative to your lungs. We're not going to deny that. So I feel like us moving forward in Tennessee, we should just take something that we know already has potential negative side effects to your body. Let's just take it off the table.
But my understanding is you can ingest and smoke oil, and you also implied that we could standardize the strength and the dosage of the oil. Could you explain that?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, you can't smoke the oil. Now, you can vape the oil, but you can't smoke oil. And smoking the plant, any form of the plant, if we pass the current bill the way I have it written, would still be illegal. It would be looked at as what smoking marijuana would be right now. What we know going forward, a doctor has to have some type of basis. That's where clinical studies come in, right? Yeah. And so when you as a doctor or as a nurse, you're working on delivering the correct medicine to your patient, mm-hmm. you have to have some base, some standard to go by. That's built into our bill. We're following a model much like what Canada does, and they say it's a good start to start right here. You'll have to find the sweet spot, if you will, and the exact mixture between CBD and THC that works best for you. But what we'll make sure we do is in the manufacturing of the oil, is we will know the exact strain. There's two main strains. It's called sativa and indica. Mm-hmm. One works on neuromuscular and one works on just muscular. One works the neurology side of your body and works more of the on the muscular side of your body, if you will. So you'll know the exact strain that you're having, and you'll know the amount, the percentage of the CBD and THC and each sum of oil that you get. So it's down to that clear of a science right now, that you know exactly what you're getting, and it's growed in a controlled lab. Mm-hmm.
But we're missing a big piece of science. A big piece of science with drugs in the United States is that they go through rigorous clinical trials. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of those clinical trials are to determine which of the chemicals are the active ingredient, what do they treat, and what is the dosage that's necessary for treatment. So we have a very rigorous process at the federal level with the FDA, and yet your bill and other bills like it would preempt the authority of the FDA and bring a drug to market without that testing, that knowledge about safety and dosage. How do you respond to that concern, which is being voiced fairly loudly?
And that concern has been brought up, you're right. Mm-hmm. So let's speak to that, a couple of things. First of all, we have to accept the reality that the FDA will never look at the cannabis plant as a whole.
Can I say something about that?
Oh, absolutely.
That's because to look at it requires human testing, and their perspective is it's too dangerous to do the testing because of the potential for addiction and harm. So they have classified cannabis as a class one drug,
right,
along with heroin and other drugs, which are never to be used. And so therefore they don't do testing. So are you just dismissing the rationale behind cannabis being a class one drug?
Absolutely. I will fundamentally disagree with them. And an interesting thing you said, and the FDA, you echoed the FDA, they say the potential of addiction. Let's talk about addiction real quick, and then we're going to talk about the science behind this, because I believe you're going to be surprised with things science has already showed us with this plant. First of all, cannabis is the least addictive substance. The FDA is approving stuff such as OxyContin, an opiate derivative. The National Academy of Sciences, which you have to read them often in the medical professional, this is what they said this year. I'm going to read this to you. One of the therapeutic uses of cannabis and cannabinoids is to treat chronic pain in adults. The committee found evidence-based medicine to support that patients who were treated with cannabis or cannabinoids were more likely to experience a significant reduction in pain symptoms. For adults with multiple sclerosis-related muscle spasms, there was substantial evidence-based medicine that short-term use of certain oral cannabinoids, man-made cannabinoid-based medications that are orally ingested, improved their reported symptoms. Furthermore, in adults with chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting, there was conclusive evidence that certain oral cannabinoids were effective in preventing and treating those ailments.
Representative Faison, I think there is a lot of evidence in limited studies about the benefits of cannabis. But there's also studies that show some of the untoward effects, the side effects, the dangers associated with it. And I'm just concerned that we would be legislating this. A group of Tennessee legislators, esteemed as they are, not necessarily qualified to practice medicine. I really took to heart a quote from Senator Richard Briggs, who is a surgeon, who said, the legislature shouldn't practice medicine. I'm not sure we have the expertise on our committee to determine whether the medication is safe. We have a national organization that does that. It's called the Food and Drug Administration. So I think we can agree to disagree that there's somewhat of a precedent here to say Congress is inept or ineffective right now, and the FDA is part of that whole conglomerate. Therefore, we're going to take business in our own hands. I think that's something we might want to debate more at another time.
Can I counter that?
Of course.
The legislature has set a standard for the license of every healthcare professional in Tennessee. You and I have sat together multiple times in committee in Nashville. We every year pass laws that have to do with the standard of care and how you deliver care in Tennessee for medicinal purposes and for medical purposes. So I would, when Dr. Briggs said that, I was in committee when he said that, and I immediately countered that with the fact, Doc, you vote every single year on people's lives and how doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners and PAs impact their life. So this whole notion that we are not qualified to decide what's best practice medicinally for patients in Tennessee, I take fundamental opposition, because we have taken that for the last 50 years. we have been passing laws that have to do with medicine and medical treatment in Tennessee. So to say that we have to wait on the FDA, which could be another 10, 20 years, when I have patients right now in your neighborhood that you go to church with, that you see at work, that you see at the bank, who are illegally alive. And now that we know what this plant can do, law enforcement and some healthcare professionals want me to wait another 10, 15, 20 years until our almighty, all-knowing FDA and federal government give us the green light. That's just, to me, it's preposterous. Once you see what the plant can do, why would I wait? For them who've proven to me year after year after year that they're inept and they're incapable of making a good decision. So I would say we do pass laws that impact the medical part of the state of Tennessee every year.
So let's talk about the prudent management of your effort to pass a bill. You have to be sensitive to some of the concerns from law enforcement about driving while impaired, mm-hmm. and the fact the statistics from states who have either adopted medicinal cannabis or recreational, the increase in crashes, the increase of number of people driving under the influence. And then an area that concerns me greatly is what's happening to adolescents in those states. Mm-hmm. So what safeguards are you proposing in your work or the task force or in your bill that will help us to deal with the potential for more impaired drivers, the potential for decreased concern on the part of adolescents about the danger? Particularly, they're at a very vulnerable period in brain development, and some of the side effects are most acute in adolescents. So talk to us about what you're doing to protect, about those concerns that we know have been very real in other states.
Absolutely. Let's start with adolescent first. We have made it to where you can't, in the bill, you will not be able to make like gummy bears. If you go to Washington or Oregon or some of these states that have recreational and medical use, there's all these fun-looking things that you can eat, and candy bars and cookies and brownies and such as that. So this bill that we've carried, you wouldn't be able to manufacture something that would look like what a child could get to and think it was just eating gummy bears. That wouldn't happen. And so basically, this isn't going to be something enticing. Whatever's manufactured is not enticing for a child. And it would be labeled, and it would have to have tamper-proof packaging, just like any high-powered prescriptions that you're given today, tamper-proof.
So that's pertinent to children.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but
yes,
what
ma'am.
About adolescents? So a little bit different.
Same thing with adolescents. And it would be under a doctor's guide whether or not the adolescent can have this. But I would want to remind you, the first bill that I passed was 2 or 3 years ago for cannabis sole, because you just brought up the fact, look at these things that potentially cannabis can do to an adolescent or a child. It can hurt their brain development. It can. That we don't have science that says it does. It says it can.
With medical cannabis, you know, the same thing could be said. You were, in some ways, buying a pig and a poke, because there hasn't been that extensive testing. So I'm asking what your safeguards will be. How will we increase law enforcement around impaired drivers? How will we prevent cannabis?
Let's get to driving that. Okay. I was just
well, I want to finish with adolescents.
Right. When you have a child who has some serious illnesses,
there is.
Whatever you take, there are some inherent risks that a parent has to get to grips. Do I think that the potential positive impact of this medication is worth the risk of the inherent dangerous impact, right? Mm-hmm. My thought is, let the parent and the doctor be the one who decides. Let them look at what they have, put this as a tool in a child doctor's life for the parents, and say, let's look at this. If you take the conventional FDA approved, there's a potential of this. If you take what the legislature has allowed us to use, there's a potential of this. I believe that between the parents and the doctors, they can decide. We're not forcing anybody to take this chemical, this plant. We're just saying allow the doctors, if they chose to do this, and allow the parents to have an option of it. This is all strictly medical.
So how are we going to address the concerns that were voiced by the Tennessee Highway Patrol and the Tennessee Department of Health about driving under the influence, et cetera. What does your bill do to accommodate those concerns?
Right. That's an excellent question, Doc, and I'm glad we're talking about this. Number one, you'll be interested to know that in the states where just medical use, there are no increased DUI problems, that there's a problem with assaults or driving or anything crazy like that. The same laws that are currently on the books right now for driving under the influence of anything will still be there. And if you happen to be in a car and you've got cannabis on you, whether you used it legally or illegally, it's still going to impact you.
Where are we with the work of the task force? Are you preparing recommendations for the state representatives and senators? And what do you anticipate will happen in January?
After listening to the urgings of the Tennessee Department of Health and the urgings of our Tennessee Department of Safety, we've drastically changed the bill. That's what I said. It'll be the strictest bill in America. But I believe we've identified right at 75,000 patients in Tennessee who can benefit from this plant if they choose to use it. And we're going to specifically target them. There's about 12 different qualifying diseases. One thing we got to bring up real quick. My wife is in the healthcare field. She's a registered dietitian. She has told me inflammation is one of the strongest killers in America. Inflammation is the root problem of an immense amount of disease. From autoimmune diseases to everything. What the National Academy of Science also said is that this plant, cannabis, has shown to have an amazing anti-inflammatory property as a whole. I will introduce the bill in January. My prediction is that we're going to pass it this year.
So two follow-on questions. What's mm-hmm. the fiscal note? Or, of course, it's too early to know mm-hmm. for your bill, but that will be a consideration. Always is.
My guesstimation is looking at the other 28 states, our fiscal impact is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 million positive revenue for the state of Tennessee okay. the first year.
And then my second question is, this is not the only medical cannabis bill, the mm-hmm. one you're going to introduce. How do you predict that playing out with competing bills?
Oh, I'm sure other people will introduce bills. And for me, I'm going to vote for any medical cannabis bill that comes up, whether mine makes it or somebody else's. I'm just happy to get this plant to the sick people of Tennessee.
Well, it has been a great pleasure.
Yes,
obviously,
ma'am.
This is something you have strong feelings about, and very much appreciate you coming to the studios today and sharing your perspective. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your work.
Thank you, Dr. Meyerson. I want to encourage your listeners, get involved. Wherever you are on this, the capital belongs to you. Contact your senator, your representative, and let them know who you are. Let them know what you believe.
I echo that. Thank you.
Thank you.
State Representative Jeremy Faison in conversation with Dr. Carol Myers. Next time on Health Connections, a preview of state legislation related to health and medicine. Our guest will be thoracic surgeon and state senator Richard Briggs. Join us on January 2nd. For now, happy holidays. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.